Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, March 21st, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Mr. Mark Payne. Mr. Mark is the superintendent with Brassfield and Gorey, who has been in charge of the project working here at Mountain Brook Baptist on our renovation. He has been with Brassfield and Gorey since 1981, which, if we did the math correctly, is about 44 years. During his time at Mountain Brook Baptist, he has become a friend to many. I look forward to him sharing his story at the end of the podcast. But first, Mark, read God's word for us today.
Good morning. Thanks for having me. Look forward to spending a little time with y'all. First reading is from Isaiah 25, 6 through 9. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees, well refined. Verse 7, and he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. Verse 8, he will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears off all faces. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. Verse 9, and it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Our gospel reading is Matthew 24, 15 through 35. Start with verse 15. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Verse 16, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. 17, let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Verse 18, neither let him which is in the field return back to take clothes. Verse 21, for then shall be great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Verse 22, and except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Verse 23, then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. Verse 24, for there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonder, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. 25, behold, I have told you before. Verse 26, wherefore if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth, behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. Verse 27, for as the lightning comes out of the east and shineth even into the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Verse 28, for wheresoever the carcass is, there will be the eagles be gathered together. Verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Verse 30, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Verse 31, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Verse 32, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know the summer is near. Verse 33, so likewise, ye, when you shall see all these signs, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verse 34, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And the final reading is from Proverbs chapter 21, verse 4. An high look and a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked is sin.
Thank you so much, Mr. Mark, for joining the podcast and for reading so beautifully for us. We want to get to know you a little bit. We see you about every day on the job site, but would you tell me a little bit about your family?
Well, I'm one of eight children, born in 1961. That's back a few years ago. There's five of us left now. My parents is all gone to be with the Lord, and graduated high school in 1979. Went to a steel shop for a little while. But the steel business left Birmingham in the early 80s. And I went to work for Brassfield & Gorrie in October of 1981. But I started out pushing a wheelbarrow concrete. That was back for concrete pumps. And if the crane didn't reach a corner, you had to push it with the wheelbarrow. And that was my job. And I set my goal to be a superintendent early on, because I believe it's important for people to set goals and to have a vision about their life. Been with them ever since. And about my wife, I've had me and her married in 1980. Karen Lynn, she was a steward. She was Karen Lynn Stewart. Wonderful woman. God blessed me very much with the partner in life he gave me. She takes care of me. Got two boys. One of them's 44. He has three children, and he also has six grandchildren, making me having my wife having six great-grandchildren already. My youngest son, he's 40. He's got three children, and they're all in school, one in college. The oldest one playing college football in Iowa.
Sounds like a lot of joy.
It is.
What was it like growing up in a family of eight?
Well, growing up in a family of eight, it was a little different. Mom had one child. Daddy had three when they married. They had the final four. We grew up, you know, on the poor end. I guess we didn't know we were poor because we had so much love in our family. Parents made sure that we had plenty of love and that we always attended church. When my younger brother was four, you know, he went in and got his tonsils removed at Children's Hospital in Birmingham. And not sure what they done, but he died in the recovery room, and they caught him and brought him back, but the brain damage was done. So he laid in a vegetative state for 33 years. And my mom took care of him. Just every 2 hours, I would watch her get up just to roll him to keep him from having a bed sore. And for 33 years, she did that and took care of the rest of us kids. But she held on to her faith in God. I don't know if she ever questioned it. I know I did. But she said God had a purpose. But my mother was always the spiritual leader. I got saved when I was 12, and I was baptized that same year in a church, a little family church out in Sayre, Alabama. Me and my wife, we had the youth group there for probably 4 to 5 years, and then I started having to go out of town and got away from church for years and years. And to about the year 2000, we joined a church in Empire, Alabama, and got real involved in it there for about 4 to 5 years, and then sent out of town to do another job at that point and got away from church again. And then I guess it was 2017, my wife come down with breast cancer. So they let me stay home, and she went through a lot of radiation treatments, and today she's cancer-free, thank God. And then 2018, I come down with cancer in my back, and I had to do surgery and a year of treatments. And thank goodness I was really good to my wife when she had hers, because she repaid the favor. She was so good to me. And then at that time, I got to realizing that life was so fragile and precious, and anything could end at that time. And we started looking for another church, and now we have landed. Finally found a church I was drawn to. Then there were signs closer to our house on the side of the road saying, "Future Home of Church H2O. And every time I'd drive by it, I felt God pulling me and telling me, "I want you there." And this went on for months. Then I met the preacher at Savory Speedway, a stock car racing place, that he has a junior van club and a big ministry going on there. I met him, and I knew God wanted me there. So we started going to that church, and then we joined the church, and we're really involved. We're fixing to build a new church, so guess who's the chairman of the building committee?
Well, I think that's a perfect choice.
Yeah, they decided they needed me.
What are some of the things that you've enjoyed about your church?
It's the brotherhood. I'm going to have to say Wednesday night's my favorite because the preacher has a teaching class on Wednesday night with there, but then we break up into small groups, and I'm in the 50-plus group. So it's a lot of guys my age, and we just fell in love with each other, and we can get in there and talk about problems we're having, and they'll pray with us and talk things out on it. So it's really been good. That's probably my favorite part.
You mentioned the Sayre car track.
Right.
In a ministry that's going on there.
It's pretty amazing. The preacher, he tells his testimony about it. And he said back in, I think, 2020, he was bored one night and he told his wife he was going to the races. And said when he got to the races, he got to sitting up in the top bleachers. And said God beginning to speak to him and tell him to looking at the field and the people sitting in the stands, and told him these people need Jesus. He said it kind of woke him up, and he started the junior fan club, which they meet about an hour before the races, and there's up to 80 to 100 children and young people that come down there and joins his fan club. And I think his church attendance where we go now had gotten low, well under 100. But when he started doing that, we have about 240, 250 a week now.
What does the junior fan club do?
Well, they just meet and they have different people that come up and talk, give their testimony. Then the preacher ends up telling a good little message to them. So it's bringing children and young folks to Christ.
Do you have a favorite verse or a passage of Scripture?
Always John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And that tells me that when you accept Jesus Christ, he's got you. You're his. I'm not ashamed of him whatsoever, and I don't mind telling people if they need help or to find the way to Jesus, just let me know. I told them at our cookout Friday.
Now back up. You got to tell us about the cookout. So Mr. Martin brought barbecue. How'd you cook it?
I cooked it all night on a smoker.
Okay. And then you served it up.
I chopped it up, served it, and everybody enjoyed it and had a good time with that. But always before I have something like that, I have my little talk. I let them know that if any of them needs to talk about Jesus, that that's the most important thing in somebody's life. And to know that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life is one of the greatest things that you could do. And I even throwed in that as leaders and men and women of their families, that they were responsible for making sure their children knew about Jesus. There was one particular day I was having a barbecue at my house, and my mother would not ride with anybody up there. I had a brother coming by. She insisted that I come and get her. Well, I was going down 78 Highway, and a car pulled out in front of us. Not me and my mother, but me going to get her. There's a truck in front of me. He got mad, and them two was going back and forth at each other. Well, the truck pulled in front of the car that had all the young people that was hollering at him, and he swerved real hard. And when he did, the vehicle the kids were in started flipping, and as it flipped, each one of them come out. One fell and hit the road, and it slung three of them in the ditch. So I pull over to try to help, and everybody was helping them. There's one particular guy laying in the ditch. I went over there, and Lord told me to go pray for him. So I laid my hands on his head and started praying for this guy. Because a guy walked away and said, there's no need of praying for him. He dead. I said, God told me to pray for this man. So I go over and put my hands on his head and started praying. Well, he rolled over and looked at me. He said, there's something sticking in my ribs real bad. Can you kind of see? I said, yeah, but you need to be careful. So I rode up a little bit, and it was a piece of glass, barely sticking. I pulled it. He had landed on a Bible. Most incredible story I've ever heard, or been part of. So I said, son, I said, well, you are lucky to be alive. I said, you've landed on a Bible, or on your Bible. And he says, sir, I don't have a Bible. I've never had a Bible. I said, well, God landed you on a Bible. I said, you need to, that's telling you something. And about that time, the police come up and I left. But that was a pretty unique story on that right there. And I did, you know, all that was obeying what God had told me to do. Go pray for the man in the ditch.
Is there another story you might tell me about where you heard the Lord prompting you to do something?
Oh, yeah. I was doing a job in Arkansas, and my office was about the distance that it is now. And that I had the meanest drywall man you ever seen in your life. I mean, he just mean. Well, he was in my office, and he was cussing some people, and I leaned out, and I said to Brian, I said, you need to shut up and go on. And then he cussed me, and he went out the office. My wife was the secretary on that job, so I walked by her. I said, you might want to call an ambulance and a policeman.
Uh-oh.
I said, me and him one's fixing to need it. And as soon as I walked out that door, God spoke to me and said, tell the man you love him. I said, not now, God. I said, that ain't what I want to do. And so I went on in the building, and he seen me at the other end, and he tucked in a room. And I went on in there, and God spoke again, tell the man you love him. I said, no. Well, I walked in, and he's a big old guy, and I said, Brian, don't you know I love you? And that man fell in my arms, and he cried for about 15 minutes. He said, Mark, you're the first person in years to tell me that you love me. Well, me and him built such a strong bond over that. A few years later, I stayed in contact with him for about maybe every 3 or 4 months. Well, he called me, and he said, Mark, he said, my kidneys are failing. And he lived in Little Rock, Arkansas. He said, before I die, last thing I want to do is see you. So me and my wife and a friend of ours, we went out there and seen him. And we prayed for him. He got a new liver or kidneys, whatever the organ was. Now he goes around telling his testimony. So, you know, that's a couple times. You know, if we just listen when God will tell us what to do. You may not want to do what he tells you, but, you know, from that point on, now, he was still a bully to a lot of them, but he could see me, he'd drop out of you. But that was a pretty good story about some of the things of being obedient when God tells you to do something.
During your time here at Mount Brook Baptist, have there been some memorable moments or parts of the project that you're super proud of?
The windows in the gym. You stand there and look at them, they look like they grow there. But the amount of work that it took to put them in is just unbelievable. The big steel lintel that goes above them to hold them was like 500 pounds. So we had to figure a way to get them up in there. You can't see them now, but they're in there, and them windows aren't going anywhere.
Wow.
And then the big hole we made up in the sanctuary there at the north exit, you know, it was about a 30-foot tear out of all that load-bearing wall. Yeah, you know, it was about 16 inches thick, I guess. But I can't wait for everybody to see it now.
We hope to be in the sanctuary on Easter Sunday.
You will be.
All right. You heard it first on Project 119.
You will be.
It will be a wonderful day. But, you know, the gym has been a wonderful place for us to worship as well.
I know, and it's not done. It's not finished.
You're right.
When y'all move out, we're putting all the new goals up and the new flooring. And, it ain't even going to look like the same place.
What else is left on the project?
Well, we've got the third phase of ELC. That's straight above Heritage Hall. So we'll be doing Heritage Hall and the ELC right above that. And that's the heavy demo on the ELC. All the block walls come out there.
Mark, it has been such a pleasure to have you on the podcast to hear a little bit of your story. And I want to ask you if you would pray for us as a church as we go forward to try to use this building that God has entrusted
Absolutely.
To us.
Lord, I thank you for this day. Lord, I ask that you bestow the blessings that you have for us in every aspect of our life. Lord, I pray that the building that we're working on out here right now and the work completed will be bringing people to know you, that let them understand that everything we do is for the kingdom of God. Lord, I ask that you bless us on our new church, at the one we're going to, at Church H2O, that things would go as good and smooth as they have here. Thank you so much for the people that I've become friends with and work together with out here. This whole church family here at Mount Brook has been a great part of the job and easy to work with. And Lord, I pray that all the employees that we have out here, that each and every one of them that don't know you, that you'll just put it in their heart to come to Jesus. If they have to come get me, I can go get Brother Wayne or whatever we need to do to get their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Father, I thank you again for this day, and thank you for allowing me to be part of a podcast, first one ever, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.